Moncrief on News Talk.
Do you know what your home's BER rating is? If you improve it, does it make your house more valuable, and by how much? What does it all mean anyway? Lisa Ryan is a professor in energy economics in UCD. Good afternoon, Lisa.
Hello, how are you?
When somebody comes in to do a BER rating, what is it precisely they're trying to ascertain?
Well, I mean, technically they're trying to measure the energy performance of your house. So in other words, how much energy you use per square meter. So that's what they're measuring. But to do that, they don't, you know, sit down and take out, you know, some kind of a measurement like a thermometer or a weighing scale. So the way they calculate how much energy your house is using is based on the characteristics of your house. So in other words, what kind of technologies you have in it, what sort of walls, what sort of insulation, you know, heating system, windows, all those things. And they put them into a big computer program, which is called DEEP. And there are a lot of different characteristics that they have to put in. And then it calculates altogether what that, you know, that energy consumption per square meter would be. And they give it a rating.
Right. OK. And I assume, and that's an averaged figure, because I suppose many people would experience, you know, if one half of your house is facing north, the other facing south, the north facing part tends to be a bit colder and maybe you have to turn the heating up more there. But they're just averaging it out for every room.
It's averaged out. I mean, it will take into account, I'm just trying to think, I think it does take into account the solar irradiation, in other words, which orientation your house has. But I mean, it's based on the technology in the house. So it's not going to give you an exact figure in terms of how much energy you do actually use, because it can only base it on the potential of the house. You know, so you may be in a house that's, that, you know, if somebody's at home all day and they have the heating on all day, that's going to use more energy than, say, somebody who's maybe out all day at work, perhaps, and is only there in the evenings. Mm. So those two houses will still have the same energy performance. In other words, that's, you know, they are quite energy efficient or not. But actually how much you turn on your heating at the end of the day is going to be quite different between those two houses. So it can only tell you, you know, the capacity of the house to you know, to perform, but not how you're actually using it.
Are they just looking at what kind of modern technology you have in the home? Because say you could own a very old house, but the, you know, the walls are 2 foot thick.
Yeah. I mean, they do take into account of that. I mean, a BER assessor, they're, you know, people working in construction, they have a range of different skills. They all have to do a training in SDAI. They have a list of all the possible heating systems. Obviously, with older buildings, I mean, it is a little bit trickier in terms of, you know, if you're building a brand new house off the plan, it's very easy to see exactly what characteristics each of the materials in that building has. Mm. And they can put them in quite simply into the model. But if you have an old building, it can be quite difficult to get into exactly what that wall is made of, how it's performing, or, you know, so you're right. There's a little bit, you know, I suppose, room for error in older buildings where you're trying to, dare I say it, retrofit a BER onto an older building when you mightn't have all the information on all the characteristics. Like if you look at the model as a researcher, we can download the data from BER models and there's, you know, 150 parameters there. So if you're just, you know, coming in as an assessor in, you mightn't have all those 150 characteristics of the building. So they'll have to kind of make an educated guess that that wall looks like this kind. And, you know, there are default values available to them to use, but it might not be exactly the right one. They have to really use their best experience.
Right. OK, so it doesn't necessarily mean that if you have, you know, if you're lucky enough to have an A rating, that, you know, your energy bills will be tiny. It can depend on your lifestyle as well, to a degree.
Well, of course it does. I mean, really, I think the value in the BER rating is that it gives you, you know, if you're comparing two like-for-like buildings, you'll be able to see, you know, which one is more energy efficient. Like before we had building energy ratings, you know, as a consumer, if you're buying a house or you're moving in somewhere, you had absolutely really no way of telling how much your energy bills would be. I mean, short of seeing whether there was double glazing windows on or, but you could have a new building that has very poor quality. And in fact, the incentive sometimes for builders or for landlords was to sell you a cheaper building, but had awful, you know, insulation in it. But you wouldn't as a layperson be able to tell that. Now with the building energy ratings, they've been in place for new buildings since 2007. They've been required for existing buildings if you're selling it since 2009. It gave people for the first time an insight into you know, is this an A-rated building or a G-rated building? And yes, it won't be, you know, exactly accurate in terms of this is how much my energy bills are going to be, but you will certainly be able to say, well, it's going to be pretty good if it's an A-rated. It's going to be very good, in fact. If it's a G-rated, you know, okay, that's an old building and really nothing's been done to it. There's no insulation and I'm going to be pretty cold this winter unless I invest heavily in it.
Are the amounts of, say, A and B rated homes in this country, are they increasing? And is that a dramatic increase or is it kind of gradual?
Now, let me think. So all new buildings, you see, have to be A rated now.
Yeah,
so if you build a new house, it has to be A rated. So, you know, and that has only come into, I'm just trying to think exactly what year Shauna came in. I think it was around 2000 and I'm going to say 13, 14. So, you know, there was not that many buildings going on around then because it was just post-Celtic Tiger. But all of the buildings that we've been ramping up since then, you know, they're all A-rated. So, you know, it has been a significant increase. You know, there has been a huge number of retrofits carried out by SBAI through the various schemes. You know, some of them are partial grant schemes, some of them are fully funded. And if you're getting a grant in the fully funded ones or even a partial one where you're getting more measures, you have to go up to a B2. So that has brought the numbers up. I'm afraid I don't have those numbers exactly off the top of my tongue, exactly how many of share. But we still have, unfortunately, quite a significant number of G-rated. Like there's about 40,000 G-rated houses in the country. And they're the ones that really need to be, we need to be worried about because often they are maybe, and often they're G-rated partly because, well, they're detached. Detached houses have poor energy performance because, you know, you're not connected to something next door, so you're exposed. You've got more exterior walls, basically. But often they're outside urban areas in the countryside, so they might not be on the gas grid, which means they're using oil boilers. They might be using there's still significant numbers using solid fuel like coal to heat their houses. And those G-rated houses, they're big, they're detached often, and they're very expensive to heat. And the problem is that people can't afford to heat them, so they tend to not always heat them. So they're the ones that we really need to be concerned about.
Yeah.
Try to get those retrofitted first. Even in terms of energy and emissions, they produce a lot more as well, you know.
Yeah,
so getting G up to D would be very worthwhile.
According to myhome.ie, 15% of houses in the country are A-rated, 16% are B-rated, and 33% are C-rated.
So that's already very good.
Yeah. You know, so that's pretty good. The expense, though, if you own a house that's a G and you want to get it up to a B, I assume that's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. I mean, if you get a BER assessment done, you will, you know, it'll give you your rating. But not only that, it does give you an advisory report and it will tell you, you know, in broad terms, you know, where the problems lie. So, for example, it'll break down in your advisory report. It'll break down into, you know, the energy performance. Is it for roof, wall, windows? And say for each one of those, you know, your roof is very poor or very high. You know, it'll tell you exactly. And then after that, it'll give you a list of things that you need to focus on to get up to B2. But if you're very low rating initially and you want to get to B2, you're probably looking at these whole package of measures that can, you know, people spend 50, 60,000. And that's where, I suppose, the SEAI one-stop shops come into play, where you can go and they will provide kind of the wraparound package so you don't have as much upfront cost and some financing will be put in place because this is something that will benefit you, but for anybody to pay that upfront, it's obviously, you know, unrealistic. So, but it should be considered in a way, it adds value to your house and it should be considered in a way as another mortgage in many ways in that it's a long-term investment that you get a lot of it back if you were to sell the house again. Plus the comfort, the health benefits. There's a whole, you know, area of literature on this documenting all those benefits aside from your energy bills.
Indeed. Just quickly before I let you go, if a home has a fireplace, does that have a net effect on the BER rating?
Yes, it usually does. Like I don't think you can't really get an A rating, for example, if you have a fireplace, because unless you manage to, what you can do is close it in with a stove in it. But otherwise, you know, if you want to have a high energy rating, you need to have a pretty closed space with a membrane, you know, making sure that heat doesn't escape. And of course, the fireplace is basically putting a hole in your wall. But people often, if they've had fireplace, they put in a stove with a flue and basically so it's closed off, but they still have the benefit of a fire essentially in it.
Yeah. Lisa, thanks a million for speaking with us today. Lisa Ryan is a professor in energy economics in the UCD School of Economics. We did get a message in from someone who says, we're retrofit architects. and we retrofit old buildings up to an A1 performance. We've definitely noticed that when we retrofit the buildings, we're extending the lifespan and the building itself for multiples of the value of the pre-retrofitted building. Now, I don't know if that's maybe because they're old buildings and that makes them more attractive, but certainly the value of your home will go up if you have a higher BER rating. Now, by how much? I don't know if anyone's actually done that sum, because it depends where you live, etc., etc.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.